In the desert, I saw a creature, naked, bestial, who, squatting upon the ground, held his heart in his hands and ate of it. I said, "Is it good, friend?" "It is bitter, bitter," he answered. "But I like it because it is bitter and because it is my heart." I'm Andy, the Packer noob.
And I'm Jake, the Packer veteran. What a somber beginning for this podcast.
I thought it was appropriate. That is In the Desert by famed American author Stephen Crane. You probably know him from The Red Bad of Courage. So Eat Your Heart Out, obviously, is a saying. I think it comes from that poem. I can't confirm that. Someone Google it out there. But I thought it fit very nicely with our tone, that our heart is bitter today, but we like it because it is our heart, our Packers, who are suffering.
It really is, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you didn't know for some reason and you're listening to this podcast, well, you're very unique. But Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, was injured in Sunday's match with the Minnesota Vikings, broke his collarbone. Now, this is his right collarbone, not his left collarbone like he did in 2013. He will have surgery, and his season could potentially be over. They aren't saying he's done for the year. But he will miss at least probably he missed 7 games last time on his non-throwing shoulder. So he'll miss at least that much now. And really just kind of a great big old shell shock to the Packers and to their fans. Andy, how do you feel about this?
All is lost. I'm never watching football again. This is a day that shall live in infamy. And all is lost.
All right, well, I guess that makes this our last episode of Packers in Law, at least with Andy. So that's all for today, and we'll see you guys. I'm just kidding. You know, I do feel like a lot of fans, and I have seen a lot of things on Facebook that the season's over, you know, the Packers aren't going to the Super Bowl. And while I have to admit the higher aspirations of the year definitely take a hit with this injury, I don't think it's wise to assume that all is lost.
All is lost, Jake. There's no hope.
I don't believe that because, yes, Brett Hundley is not Aaron Rodgers, but he said 3 years with McCarthy in his system. He's watched Aaron Rodgers for 3 years. He's learned some things. He has the tools to be successful. Now, I know in the game on Sunday he threw 3 interceptions, and that wasn't great. But also, the offensive line is very injured, which obviously has to change if Packers will be successful. But I think he has the tools to at least be more effective than the last time we were in this situation when the Packers used a combination of Seneca Wallace, Scott Tolzien, and then finally the guy who sort of took us out of this slump was Matt Flynn. I think Brett Hundley now is better than all three of those quarterbacks were at that time back then. And I think because of that, there's reason to be more hopeful. However, we did have prime Eddie Lacy in 2013, whereas now we have Montgomery who hasn't looked real
Not
good.
Not prime.
It hasn't looked real good. I mean, he does have broken ribs. So right now we can't, you know, we can really effectively judge him. And we do have Aaron Jones who, you know, even though he split time with Montgomery and didn't have a super great game. But I think the pieces are there for the Packers to still be a successful team. Maybe not a Super Bowl team anymore. But you never know. I mean, like I've been saying since we started this podcast, really the goal for an NFL team should be to just get in the playoffs. And then after that, you know, all bets are off. You just play until you're done, until you lose. But Andy, what was your besides all is lost? I'm just curious because you were on media blackout when this actually happened. What was your first reaction when you saw what happened to Aaron?
Discomfort guides my tongue and bids me speak of nothing but despair. Shakespeare, Richard II, Act 3, Scene 2. I came with lots of classical mentions to get these feelings off my chest.
I was gonna say yeah, wow.
I've got more, just you wait. That was not a Hamilton reference, but now I kind of want it to be purposeful.
I was gonna ask that actually.
Honestly, like, you see him go down and it looks, your first thought is like, oh, that might hopefully like a minor injury, maybe a stinger, because it doesn't look awful, right, the first time you see it. And so you're thinking, okay, Hundley comes in for this third down, they run it, and you know, we'll really see what's going on the next series. Then when he didn't come out, it's sort of that slow depression as it slowly sinks in that, like, be that this is bad. And then at halftime, it's leaked. I think Adam Schefter, as usual, is the guy who made the first report that it was indeed a broken collarbone that would be months and probably the end of the year. There's, again, still a chance that maybe in the playoffs or one of the last weeks of the season he'll come back. But that it just it's just slowly eating away, even as you're watching this game. And the Packers were in this game, at least numerically or mathematically, but even though it never really felt like it, you just it felt like you were losing something. I mean, this is coming after a week where I am a huge soccer fan, for those out there who don't know it, that the U.S. men's national team did not qualify for the World Cup for the first time since 1986. So, like, I've already had a pretty depressing week. And then on Sunday, this ever-widening gulf of blackness continued to eviscerate the harmony of my life.
You're very poetic today. I'm really enjoying this.
You know, people say that artists need to suffer for their art, and I guess that's what's happening. My art form of podcasting is just being perfected in pain. Oh, break my heart, poor bankrupt, break it once. To prison eyes ne'er look on liberty, vile earth to earth resign, end motion here, and thou and Romeo press one heavy buyer. William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet, Act 3, Scene 2.
Do you know all this off the top of your head?
I'd rather not say, but it's definitely a wiki quote, so no.
All right. I'm just curious. Going back to your reaction when you thought, you know, oh, man, it's not that bad. I agree. It doesn't look bad, so I was hopeful. But honestly, as soon as it happened, the first thing I thought of was the hit he took in 2013 that knocked him out. And it's funny. It's not funny, but if you watch the replay now, after he gets hit and he kind of rolls over and he kind of like puts his head on the turf, I think he knew right then and there that this was a collarbone and that he was just going to be out again, because he knows what that feels like. You know, just obviously it was a different arm this time. But I think he knew right away that he was in trouble.
Yeah, and I just want to put to bed my kind of two cents on this. I don't think at all that was a dirty hit. I don't even think it was flag worthy. I think it's just one of those things that, you know, the weight hit the wrong part of Aaron's body at the wrong time. He fell in the wrong way, and
these things happen. I would agree. I don't think it was a dirty hit or an illegal hit. I do think it was sort of unnecessary. I mean, I understand that, you know, when the quarterback's out of the pocket, he's not afforded some of the same protections he is when he is, you know, sliding as a runner or in the pocket itself. That's fine. I totally get that. And I understand that when that happens, if a defensive player can make a play on the quarterback, they're going to try to send him a message like, I'll be here, you know, I'll be here all day kind of thing. You know, I don't think he had to. He could have hit him and just let up. I don't think he had to, like, drive his weight into Rodgers, which is obviously where the injury occurred. But honestly, I'm not really – I mean, I guess you could say I'm not mad at Anthony Barr. I mean, I want to be because he knocked out our quarterback. But at the same time, it's like I don't think it was – I'm not going to say Anthony Barr is a dirty player, that was an illegal hit and he should be fine, because I don't think that. But, you know, I've seen lots of opinions that, Mike McCarthy was very vocal at the end of the game. He thought it was an illegal hit, so – I don't know if that's something the Packers will submit to the league office, but I don't think it was anything. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary that you see in a football game. So as much as I don't want to be okay with it, I guess I am okay with it in a weird way. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, we should probably go by that play, but I don't know how much more we want to say about this game. I mean, we're definitely going to talk about it, but it looms so large, this right. Injury to Aaron. I mean, it's unbelievably sad for this Packer season, for Aaron himself, and for us having to do a podcast about it.
Yeah, well, as Andy and I were talking a little bit before we started recording, and us and a lot of other Packer fans were saying, remember when we beat Dallas last week and everything was great, and we were, you know, Aaron Rodgers was on his way to being an MVP again, and now we have this. So, folks, it just goes to show how quickly your life can change, or the NFL can change, or sports can change. Well, I mean, think about sports. We're recording this on Wednesday, October 18th. I don't know if Andy, did you hear about what happened to Gordon Hayward last night?
Oh, I saw it happen, and I wish I hadn't.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I heard about it, and I foolishly was like, okay, I have to watch this. And as soon as I did, I regretted it. And then I watched it two more times, because it's just a terrible, like, you know, can't look away, but you still want to watch. It's like watching a train wreck. But, you know, the guy dislocated his ankle and broke his tibia all in the same fell swoop. And so now, you know, Boston just signed him to a huge deal. You know, what are they going to do? That was like their big, I mean, I know they got Kyrie Irving now, but that was their big offseason acquisition. So now the whole power balance in the Eastern Conference has shifted again. But we're not an NBA podcast, we're an NFL podcast. Just give me an example.
Right. I think to actually switch back to the Packers, though, I think that's a good analogy. Some analysts were talking about Boston. What do they do from here? Cause it's pretty clear without Gordon Hayward, they're not going to win a championship. So this year has suddenly turned into kind of marinating those younger, making them more cohesive as a team, really building towards next year. Jake, I did want to ask you, with this Aaron Rodgers injury, is that sort of how you're gonna watch these next couple games? I mean, listen, we're still 4-2. I think we're still tied for first in the division.
We are.
From, a numerical perspective. I should say mathematical. I don't know if I'm saying numerical. From a mathematical perspective, we're still having a good season.
Right.
But almost immediately, I'll put my cards on the table. My thought is like, okay, well, let's see if the younger guys on the defense, you know, take this year, get a lot of experience, really, you know, perform well, and then 2018 is right around the corner for an actual, you know, deep run into the playoffs and championship hope.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a tendency to maybe try to think that way just because, you know, you're trying to pull the positives out. It's like, well, let's get our inexperienced guys in there. I'm all for playing the younger players or the rookies, you know, if they're the best people, you know. I mean, I think the Packers will only go to a youth movement if it became clear that they're not going to contend this year. And like you said, we're still tied for first. You know, we're still 4-2. I think we have to give, you know, whoever's the, especially on offense, obviously, whoever is the best players that will help Hundley succeed the most is what we need to, you know, that's who needs to play, obviously. You know, I guess we're going to see if Hundley is the real deal. I know Packer fans are very high on him. Obviously, Packer management is very high on him. In fact, the Packers, despite all the rumors that they would sign, you know, Colin Kaepernick, Brett Favre, Tony Romo, Peyton Manning, trade for Eli Manning, they only signed a developmental quarterback to the roster, Gerard Evans, to the practice squad because they brought, you know, Joe Callahan from the practice squad to be now the de facto backup.
Well, let's step back then before we get too far into what actually is going to happen. Let's first ask the question. We asked this on our Twitter page. We did a poll. Should the Packers sign a free agent quarterback to either start or back up Hundley? So let's start here, Jake. I want to ask you, you're obviously, you know, way more than me as you are the veteran. I'm not going to attach any names to that. I'm just going to ask you straight up, do you think they should sign a quarterback either to back up Hundley or to start him? Or trade. We can throw in a trade there as well. Would you say yes or no, just on a basic level?
I would be okay with them acquiring a quarterback as a backup. However, I think they should give Hundley a chance to start. Like I said, he's been in the system for 3 years. They've been grooming him for this exact situation. It would seem kind of silly to put all that, you know, working with him and then immediately panic and sign somebody else the moment that it actually happens. So, yeah, I mean, I would be fine with I don't know, whoever you want to say, Colin Kaepernick, Tony Romo, anybody as a more experienced backup. Because right now we obviously just have Hundley and then we have Callahan, who's less experienced than him. And then we have this Gerard Evans on the practice squad who has, you know, no experience as a rookie. So I think it might not hurt. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers is still going to hang around the team and be on the sideline for the games going forward. So he'll still be there being able to mentor Hundley and Callahan and, you know, whoever else may come to town. But yeah, I would be fine with them signing a quarterback for backup purposes, but I think they should give Hundley a fair shot here first before they decide, oh crap, we need to go sign somebody else.
So you'd say yes. You're kind of going in the middle. Like if Hundley works out, then we'll go with Hundley. If not, that should definitely be an option in the future.
I mean, obviously, if he comes in and he's terrible, you know, for 4 games in a row, then maybe they have to. Although at that point, I guess it depends too on where they are. You know, let's say the Packers are terrible for 4 games. You know, are they still in first place? Are they still contending? Are they, you know, falling rapidly out of playoff position? You know, what's the rest of the NFC North doing? You know, the Vikings are 4-2. The Lions are 3-3. And then you have the Bears, you know, at 2-4 now. So I guess it is situational just by the nature of it, you know, how this is going. But I guess straight out, I just would say we shouldn't sign somebody right now to start for Hundley because we don't really know what we have with him yet in terms of his play in the regular season. So I think we should give him a fair chance first.
Well, the fans, at least our fans, do agree with you. That poll that I mentioned, 60% said no, 40% saying yes, which actually surprised me. I thought it was going to be a pretty overwhelming yes just in general that they should sign somebody. But it seems like people are okay with Hundley and Callahan taking us the rest of the season.
Yeah, and don't forget we have backup quarterback, emergency quarterback Randall Cobb, and apparently also Jordy Nelson is an emergency quarterback for the team if Cobb is not available. So that could be get interesting if we're to come to that.
You're right. That fills me with confidence.
Well, really, I think the biggest question, though, Andy, with the whole Hundley situation is, regardless of who's playing quarterback, is would the injuries just ruin the Packers anyway? Because after getting all their starting offensive linemen on the field for the first time on Sunday, they promptly lost three of them to injury and then had to bring in, you know, three guys who hadn't played hardly at all to take their place. And then in the defensive backfield, I mean, we just can't stay healthy there either. I mean, the Packers went into that game without Morgan Burnett, without Kevin King, without Devon House, and then they lost. Quinn Rollins suffered an ankle injury, and actually when they signed Callahan to the regular roster, they put him on IR, so he's gone. So right now they only have three healthy cornerbacks in Demarius Randall, Lindsey Pipkins, and Michael Hawkins, or Josh Hawkins. That's it. Although I did read today, this is coming from acmepackingcompany.com, that Kevin King and Devon House both practiced today, as did Vince Beagle, the Packers draft pick from Wisconsin, who hasn't played this year because of a broken foot. So it looks like maybe reinforcements are on the way for the defense, which is going to be key. But I think the offensive line is a much bigger concern, especially now that they have to protect a rookie quarterback. And, you know, Andy, when there's a new quarterback in there, they're going to send blitzes and exotic packages and, you know, all kinds of crazy defenses at him to try to see what he'll do. And if he doesn't have the confidence that his offensive line is going to protect him, it's really hard for him to step up in the pocket and make confident throws. And, you know, which obviously limits what you can do on offense. So,
right. As just taking a step back to the injuries, as William Shakespeare would say, misery makes sport to mock itself. Richard II, Act 2, Scene 1. Listen, if this was a situation where Aaron Rodgers goes down and it's a Packers team that's really firing on all cylinders, it's still bad. But at least at that point you can say, listen, this is kind of where we were last time he got hurt. We can hold this together. A guy can step in, do a serviceable kind of Alex Smith-like job, and we'll be fine. That's probably not a good reference since Alex Smith is doing incredible this year, but you know what I mean. But this is a Packers team that really was winning off of the coattails of Aaron Rodgers, a offensive line that is incredibly battered, a defense that has an incredible amount of injuries throughout the whole season. It just really feels like a grim and comfortless despair, William Shakespeare, the Comedy of Errors.
Yeah, I mean, I can't deny that. It does. I mean, like we said, it's obviously bad. I mean, nobody wants the situation to be happening, but it is.
Am I being too much of a downer with my quotes? I think so.
Maybe. I guess, fans, if Andy's being too much of a downer, let us know. Tweet us at Packers Law. Yeah, it is rough, and nobody wants it to be happening. But you know, I think before we go into full blown panic mode, we should pump the brakes, see if...
Before we go into panic mode, I was there 2 days ago, Jake.
Obviously. But yeah, we should pump the brakes, see if we can get some guys back on defense.
Break the glass, hit the red button.
Never hit the red button.
Do you know what it says above that red button, Jake?
What?
Do you know what it says above that red button that's behind that glass case that we should break and press?
No, what?
Colin Kaepernick.
Well, I've already stated my opinion on that. I don't mind if we bring him in as a backup, but I think, you know, he doesn't know our offense. We got to get Hundley has 3 years in our system. We got to give him a shot.
Listen, we sign him this week. Milwaukee boy. He loves the Green Bay Packers. He comes in. He backs up Brent Hundley. If Brent Hundley does well against the Saints' terrible defense or even serviceable, he's all right. But then we have a whole 2 weeks with Colin Kaepernick on the bench because he'll be on the bench this week, obviously, and then next week is a bye, and then we can come into that next week with a decision on which quarterback is going to be the best chance for the Packers to win. Because I understand, listen, you put 3 years into this guy, blah, 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 whatever. It's about who gives you the best chance to win. And I am wanting to take a quarterback who has been to the Super Bowl, who is known for getting out of the pocket, and that's where he's best, to go against a or to go with a broken line into these games rather than an untested guy who up until this game I think had thrown 7 passes and in this game did not look so great. He didn't look terrible, didn't look great. Listen, I like Hundley. I hope he does well. I would be so happy if he's the next Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think it's crazy not to at least talk to Colin Kaepernick, because he's a free agent. It doesn't cost you anything. Okay, rant over.
Well,
I think it's crazy not to try this.
Here's my thing with Colin Kaepernick. So when he's been to the Super Bowl, but when the 49ers were good those years, when they went to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row, went to the Super Bowl in 2012 season, but 2013 Super Bowl. He had a very good running back and an elite, like, top five defense helping him out. Whereas if he comes to Green Bay, he has neither of those things. And you have to remember, I know there's the whole thing with him kneeling for the flag and all that stuff. Whatever. Last year, he was, as a starting quarterback for the 49ers, he went 2-14. I mean, they eventually benched him because he was not playing well. So, I mean, recently he hasn't looked that good. I know he's been to the Super Bowl, but that was, 5 years ago. So, again, I mean, I'm fine with us signing him. And then, yeah, if Hundley struggles, sure, why not? Trot him out there. I just don't think it's a sure thing that we sign him and automatically become better. Especially the fact that he does not, maybe he's not as familiar with our offense as Hundley is. So, it remains to be seen. Like we said, if Hundley is a total flame out against the Saints, and then after the bye, we, decide to bring somebody, not just Colin Kaepernick, but another quarterback in general, who knows? It could go a lot of ways right now.
Right, but then you're waiting. I mean, this is like crunch time, right? You got you want to get it before the bye week. You don't want him to be settling in the bye week. You want him to be there in the bye week. And, if he comes in and Hundley actually beats him out of the spot, all the better. That's fine. Because, again, I want the quarterback that gives us the best chance to win. But I just don't understand a quarterback of that caliber not getting signed when he's available for a team that obviously needs quarterback depth. There's a reason Callahan was on the practice roster. Like, yeah, maybe they like him, but they like him enough to sign him to the practice squad. So I think it's crazy that we haven't even at least heard that the Packers are meeting with him. I think that's crazy, and I think there's some other stuff behind that. That's the only thing I can think of, that at least they're not talking to him. What if you can get him for a crazy deal or like a one-year thing or, anyway. Sorry, I want the Packers to have the best chance to win, and I think Colin Kaepernick could at least help put some pressure on Hundley.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe that's, if he, like I said, if he doesn't do great, maybe he'll need somebody behind him. So to say, hey, you don't step it up here. Your job is on the line. Maybe he needs that. Who knows?
Right.
But, I mean, they asked McCarthy about this after the game. They asked him about Colin Kaepernick, and he said, Brent Hundley's our quarterback and Joe Callahan's the backup, and that's the direction we're going. So now, again, depending on how they do, this could all change. But for now, it looks like they've already said they're not going in that direction. So.
All right, I understand. I don't think that's a football decision. That's my personal opinion. We don't have to talk in depth about that. But I think that it is foolish if they're letting that stop them from making a move that could help the team. Whatever you think about Colin Kaepernick's politics, if he helps this team win, which I think it's hard to argue that he can't at least add something to this unflavorful dish that we currently have in front of us, and not subtract anything. I mean, worst case scenario, he's not very good. He's kind of lost that spark. Then he's just on the bench, and you lose maybe like $1 million. I mean, he's not going to fetch a terrible amount of money. Anyway.
Right. Although,
go ahead.
Just one last thing. To be fair, I think McCarthy would have answered the same way to that question, regardless of who the quarterback being mentioned was, because I think that was their plan all along as soon as Aaron got hurt. But I don't disagree with you that there could be things other than his performance, and there probably is. But again, we have to go too in-depth on that. But just wanted to throw that in there. So.
So
let us continue.
Apparently we're riding with Hundley. What did you see from him in this game, Jake? The only thing that really stands out for me is his touchdown throw to Adams, basically because he was, again, getting lots of pressure like he was almost this whole game. Kept his head up. A lot of young players, when they have to break the pocket or move around, they don't look upfield. He's always looking downfield. Finds Devontae for a good touchdown. That was good. Overall, I felt like he didn't get in a rhythm. And I think it'll be very interesting to see him against New Orleans after a week with first-team snaps. But at least in this game against Minnesota, not terribly impressed. Not unimpressed, but not terribly impressed. What are your thoughts?
I think for the circumstance that he came in, he did all right. Again, like, I think it was really just deflating for the Packers to have this happen and then be like, okay, well, we got to keep... I mean, to go back to the Boston Celtics, Kyrie Irving, after the game said last night, you know, after the injury happened, it was like, okay, now he's still going to play this game. And you could tell Boston wasn't really all that excited about doing it. But, you know, you're a professional. This is your job. So that's just what you got to do. And he and Henley even said after the game, he said, you know, Aaron's Aaron and I'm Brett. I just got to be me. And he said, you know, we'll be better. I'll get a whole week to prepare and we'll be better on Sunday against the Saints. And, you know, he did throw three interceptions. Two of those were deflected. You can, you know, argue about whether or not the throws initially were good or bad. But honestly, I mean, I don't know if it was because I was also in a kind of a sad mood after watching Aaron go out. But I wasn't really expecting a whole lot out of Hundley just because, you know, to get pressed. I know all backups said they prepare for that moment. But, like, to have it happen like that, you know, it has to do something to your morale. So I think anything that we saw in this, and yeah, like you said, the touchdown throw to Adams was good. I mean, he was, you know, breaking the pocket, kept his eyes up, saw, you know, even threw sort of back across his body, which, you know, you're not supposed to do, but lots of quarterbacks, including Aaron Rodgers, do it frequently. And, you know, man, I nice throw to Adams, and Adams, you know, got us a touchdown. So there's definitely some good tools there. I think, you know, he has just as much, if not more, mobility than Rodgers does. You know, I don't know if, he probably won't have mastery over things like the hard count that Rodgers has shown in the past. But again, he has time to learn that stuff now. And he gets all the first team reps in practice, which I think also is going to help big time. So again, I don't think, you know, we shouldn't expect the Packers to put up 45 points, even though they will be playing a pretty bad Saints defense on Sunday. But I think they can be competitive in this game coming up for sure.
Yeah, we'll hope. I mean, again, to go back to Hundley, I saw an article on ESPN earlier this week that ranked how the backup situations were for each team, their quarterback backups, and they had four rankings. They had good shape, which is a 4, a 3, better than most, 2, total mystery, and 1, looks bleak. And the Packers were that number 2, total mystery. We've seen some of him right in the preseason. Now we've seen a couple of snaps here, but like you said, in sort of a deflating atmosphere, we just don't know. I mean, he was never outstanding at UCLA, but he was a good, solid quarterback. He seems to have developed into having a good pocket presence, but it's really hard to say definitively what this is going to be on Sunday.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, with that ranking system, too, they are judging based on the, you know, the drop-off from, and, you know, from your starting quarterback to what the backup is. And going from Aaron Rodgers to just about anybody else is probably going to be a downgrade. I mean, you can, you know.
Oh, not probably. It is going to be a downgrade.
Right. I mean, you know, you can say, like, maybe Tom Brady is a slight downgrade if that's the case. But that obviously isn't what's happening here. So, but I think, you know, like the rest, like sports are for fans, we kind of just have to wait and see and, you know, hope for the best. So, well, now we've thoroughly covered that topic, Andy. Let's go around quick here and see what the rest of the NFC North did this week in our NFC North watch.
Death, pain, suffering, loss, anger, depression, sadness, sorrow.
Well, that was cheery. Well, we already know what the Vikings did is they beat the Packers 23-10. They moved to 4-2, and they will play the Ravens at home next week. The Lions lost a crazy game to the Saints, who the Packers, of course, will be playing this Sunday, 52-38, and they are now 3-3, and they had their bye week this week. That game was nuts. If you haven't seen highlights of that game, I would encourage you to go watch it. There were, I think, 4 special team or defensive touchdowns in that game, and it was just nuts. Plus, the Lions were losing, Andy, 45-10 halfway through the third quarter, and got to within a touchdown. So, again, Matt Stafford and that come-from-behind thing, he's pretty good at it, as we said last week.
As we say every week, it seems.
Right, and we're going to keep saying it after that performance. Although, of course, they did lose the game. But still, even to have a shot at the end of that game is remarkable. Then, of course, the Bears, they defeated the Ravens in overtime, 27-24. They go to 2-4 on the year, and they will play the Panthers at home next week. Which brings us to the Packers' next game, Andy, against the New Orleans Saints, who just beat the Lions. And really, I know the big storyline of this game, above all else, is going to be how is Hundley going to perform. We've already talked about that at length. But like I said, I think the real key for the Packers is, and it's really not something you can game plan, is that the O-line has to get healthier and the secondary has to get healthier Otherwise, you know, it is, you know, with Rodgers, maybe he can kind of cancel out some of those things. But with Hundley, you know, he probably can't. You know, obviously he's not Aaron Rodgers. So I think those two things need to happen for the Packers to continue to have a chance of making the playoffs this season.
And that's what we can hope for. Sorry for cutting in on you there. That's what we need to hope for, is that the veterans on this team on both sides of the ball will just really step up and give it their all. I mean, guys like Cobb and Adams and Jordy on the other side of the ball, Daniels, these guys need to step. Apparently, Blake Martinez, who's playing phenomenal, he's already stepping up. Clinton Dix, these guys need to really step up, grab this season by the throat, because Hundley, I think, probably can do it. You know, despite my despair, I think he can do a serviceable job at least. I think I have enough confidence in Mike McCarthy's coaching ability for that. But he's going to need the team to be clicking for this to work. Maybe not on Sunday. I think the Saints are a beatable team. But to get this season to where we want it to go, it's going to have to be an entire team effort. There's no more Aaron Rodgers to pull us out in the fourth quarter.
Right. I think another big thing they're going to need to do, which they did on Sunday, is they're going to need to force more turnovers than they have been. You know, give Hundley as short of a field as possible to work with. You know, get him some favorable, favorable situations to work in. And I think that can only help him going forward. So the defense is going to need to be more opportunistic in the future. But really, I think the big challenge the Saints present, Andy, is they just have all those receivers, and they have Drew Brees, who's a fantastic quarterback. My dad and I noted that the Packers played a lot of zone in that game against Minnesota on Sunday because, you know, obviously, my dad, but when I was saying, you know, against a quarterback of the caliber of Drew Brees, zone might not be very effective. He's known for kind of picking zones apart if you give him a chance. And if a pass rush can't get to him, it might be a long afternoon. I feel like I've said that this every week. If certain things happen, it could be a long afternoon for the Packers D. But then they also have the two running backs. Ever since they traded Adrian Peterson to Arizona, Mark Ingram responded, had a huge game against Detroit. And Alvin Kamara, who I think could be possibly an X factor in this game, very good receiving back, running back out of the backfield, could do some damage in that area as well. But the key thing for the Packers is that this is going to be a good chance to see Hundley work, because the Saints have a bad passing D. They're 28th in passing defense, and they're actually the worst defense on third down. So even if it's third and long, I guess maybe we should have hope that Hundley can make some of those conversions. But I think the Saints are probably, you know, going to try to load the box and take away the run and, you know, make Hundley try to beat their bad pass defense and, you know, kind of take their chance with that. So the opportunities will be there. Again, it's just going to be up to Hundley to, you know, see the defense and make the appropriate play. Which, right,
We can optimistically think, like, yeah, it's a bad defense that can be picked apart, even by not great quarterbacks. Again, 28th is obviously way down there in the league. Optimistically, maybe Hundley has a good week. Passes for, you know, over 200 yards, gets some touchdowns, Packers win. He's got some momentum, and then he's got a whole week of, the bye week, and they're playing at home, obviously, so that there's no travel involved in that week of rest. Really, you know, get some momentum behind this. At that point, we'll probably have more information of if Aaron will get back, and so there can be a mindset of either, I just need to get us to week, 15 or into the playoffs or, you know, whatever, or, okay, this is my team now, I'm going to go. So ideally, if we can get this victory, you know, it might be a totally different, podcast next week, where we can maybe not quote William Shakespeare on misery so much.
Well, let's hope so. Andy, in your segment this there, you just you did say Packers win. So is that what you're predicting for this week?
Ooh, put me on the spot. I think I am forced to this position by the sadness I feel in my heart that I need a victory so bad. I'm going to delude myself into thinking, yes, we will win, based purely on, I think, the Saints' terrible defense, especially when they're not in the dome down in New Orleans. So I think we do win. Again, I don't know if this is hope, you know, blinding me. I do not know, but I'm going to say they win 28-24.
a close one to be sure. I'm very torn. Again, I have faith that Hundley can do the job. I just don't know how the Packers will hold up against that, you know, Saints receiving core, especially if, and it looks good right now with House and King practicing today, but, you know, we don't know if they're going to actually play or not. Again, it's a because it's so close, I think almost out of necessity, like you said, because of all the doom and gloom that's been going around, almost out of necessity, I think I have to err on the side of positivity here. I'll say the Packers win 31-30.
Whew. Wow. Barn burner. Is that a last minute kick from Mason Crosby?
Sure. You know, he hasn't had to do that yet this year, so we'll go with that. Again, you know, I think this game has potential to be high scoring if Hundley can get on track. And, you know, they actually, an interesting note I read today that when Rodgers was hurt in 2013, the Packers actually still finished in the top 10 in total offense, even without Aaron for seven games, which I thought was kind of fascinating. So they did it once. They can do it. Now, I know there's significant turnover, but hey, it's a good precedent for what we're about to go into. So, but yeah, I think that's going to do it for our more somber episode of Packers in Law. Once again, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Packers in Law. We do live tweets during the game. We post stupid memes, all kinds of fun stuff.
Did you try to do a Jedi mind trick on our whole audience? You want to follow us on Twitter.
Well, no, but now you said that, I wish I had. Unfortunately, I don't have the Jedi powers to make that happen. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. We have a page there where we post links, and all those links are posted to Twitter, so you won't miss anything either way. Also, you can email us, packersinlaw@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow Andy or myself on Twitter, Andy, what's your handle? Is it?
@Andy_SMTH, Smith without the I. Andy_SMTH.
Right, and I'm at JSpec20, that's JSPECK20. Although honestly, I don't post on my own Twitter account very much. I'm much more active on Packers in Law. So if you follow us on Packers in Law, you'll pretty much get everything you need to know. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Smith?
For my errors loom over my head like a heavy burden. They are too much for me to bear. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am distressed and extremely downcast. I walk around sad all day long. The Bible, Psalms 38:4-6.
Are you just Googling like sorrow and despair and seeing whatever comes up?
Is that important?
All right, folks. Well, before Andy gets us all in a really bad mood, we will talk to you next week and hoping for a Packers victory.
To sorrow, I bade good morrow and thought to leave her far away behind. But cheerily, cheerily, she loves me dearly. She is so constant to me and so kind. John Keats, Endymion, Book 4.